Reading old letters when you're clearing out your parents' place can be a fascinating thing. I still have letters that Dad wrote to me when I was in Bible college, and it's great to have a read every now and again and see the nature of the relationship that I had with Dad at that time, to hear his words of encouragement again. Usually I only read them when we move house, because that's when you're clearing out the, sorting out the boxes and whatever, so it doesn't happen very often, but it's quite encouraging. This morning we're going to pour over some correspondence from the first century. We're going to pour over some correspondence between an apostle appointed by God and a ministry trainee. And what a privilege it is that we have such correspondence accurately preserved with us from the first century, from the early years of the church, that we might unpack it and explore it, and we might see the nature of the relationship between apostle and trainee, see the issues that were important, and to see the nature of the instructions that Paul gave to Timothy that are there written for us as well. Timothy was under house arrest in Rome. Sorry, Paul was under house arrest in Rome, and Timothy was on assignment in Ephesus. But friends, what we're doing this morning is more than just looking over ancient correspondence. We are doing that. We're doing that genuinely. We're doing that with a true piece of correspondence from the first century, but we're doing more than that, because what we're reading here is God's word to us this morning. And so may it be that the Lord speaks to you in a particular way, and that you're open to hearing what he has to say to you through his word. I've loved working on this passage this week, and here are some questions that I have for you. Who will be thankful for you? Are you shy? And have you RSVP'd? Who will be thankful for you? Are you shy? And have you RSVP'd? Well, going back to our first point, let's have again a look at the opening verses, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. See the warmth of the relationship there. This is not just a professional coaching situation, is it? There is deep and spontaneous affection evident there, which Paul had for Timothy. Verse 2, he says he calls him his dear son. So there's gratitude, there's prayer, there's longing, there's tears. And Paul recalls that his own family had a history of serving Jesus, or of serving God at least, and that he's following in those footsteps. And he wants Timothy to see that he also has a rich family history. You see, Paul knows that life and ministry is going to be hard for Timothy. There will be dangers, there will be struggles, there will be challenges, there will be persecution. What will help his young protege through all of those things? It will be knowing his roots, knowing his history. You see, how did Timothy get to where he now is? That he has a sincere and real faith, and now he's giving of himself to ministry, following Paul's footsteps, taking over from him. How did he get there? Well, because, in part at least, from the sincere faith that was first seen in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. How precious and important is the influence of mothers and grandmothers, and of course fathers and grandfathers. Now, we're not told any of the details here, but how was it that Lois and Eunice passed on their sincere faith to Timothy? Well, I'm sure a lot of it was by example, because what is precious and real and vital and important to us will be precious and real and vital and important to our children, because they catch so much just by observing us, just by watching us. But you can almost guarantee there was intentionality too. Teaching, reading the scriptures together, praying together, family discussions over dinner. Who are you thankful for passing on their sincere faith to you? Maybe it's your parents in your case. Maybe your parents weren't Christians, aren't Christians. So you're thankful for somebody else's influence in your life. Take time just now to be thankful for them. What a precious gift they've left with you. Maybe go home and tell them today, if they're still around, thank you. Thank you for your example, for your prayers, for reading the scriptures to me, for living out in front of me what it means to serve and follow Jesus. Thank you. Along with my parents, I'm thankful for Mrs. Hill. Mrs. Hill was my Sunday school teacher in years 5 and 6. No idea what happened to Mrs. Hill. I do remember going and having a chat to her as an older teenager and meeting with her and raising a couple of issues with her. But she had a tremendous impact on me. Never saw her again. Don't know what happened to her. Can't go and thank her. She's probably no longer still around. But her influence on me was fantastic. Friends, God is enriching you on your current journey through those who have gone before you. Your trust in Christ is still being nurtured by those who set an example for you, who first passed on the faith to you. And their impact on you will keep encouraging you. It will keep telling you that you're not crazy to serve the Lord as you go back and remember and recall and draw strength from their example in the past. And they will tell you, their storyline to you will be, keep on going, keep on going, keep going, keep going. You will be drawing strength from those who have gone before you for the rest of your days. And then, friends, you will have that same impact on others. Here's my question for you. In 20 years from now, in 30 years from now, who will be thankful for you? You matter now more than you know. Your faithfulness will still be making an impact long after your expiration date. You may be a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle of younger children. You may be a neighbor or a family friend to some, or a teacher or a children's leader. And they will see in your life right now your sincerity for Jesus, your passion for Jesus, the sacrifices you make for Jesus, your generosity to others because of Jesus, and they will learn from you what it means to put Jesus first in your life. And they'll learn it through you. Don't underestimate the impact that you have on others. Now, of course, it's very hard, isn't it, when you've done all that and your kids don't follow Jesus. That's painful. It's also hard if you realise on reflection and with regret that you have done actually little intentionally and you'd like to go back and change all that if you could. But I want you today to leave that all in the Lord's hands. You can't change the past. If you've made mistakes, if you did your own thing, guess what? It's forgiven in the Lord. Put it in the past. But keep trusting, keep praying, keep loving, keep living faithfully today. So no guilt or burden this morning, please. But just an inspiration to do all that you can now to lead those in your sphere of influence, to pass on your sincere faith. Because there is nothing more to pass on than that. Will someone pick up a letter to your child or read a text message or a Facebook post or something like that? Where someone's writing to them and they're saying, I'm reminded of the sincere faith, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your mother, first lived in your grandmother, first lived in your father, first lived in your grandfather, first lived in that neighbour. And they're referring to you. May it be so. May it be so. But here's another question for you. Are you shy? Specifically, are you shy when it comes to Jesus? Timothy was, and many of us are. Have another look with me at verses 6 and following. For this reason, I urge you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Now, the laying on of hands was probably something like an ordination for Timothy when he was set apart for ministry. And obviously, that's not our situation. It's not the situation of most of us here this morning. But however, the next bit is our story, because we all have God's Holy Spirit residing within. That's how close God is to you. Sometimes you think God is far away. Where is he? Actually residing within you. And God's Holy Spirit is not a spirit of timidity. That is, he doesn't make us timid about the things of God, but rather the Spirit of God gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And as a result, in verse 8, neither Timothy nor any one of us here should be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, should be ashamed of the gospel. We ought not to be embarrassed by the gospel, awkward about the gospel, shy about the gospel, embarrassed to be known as Christians. But we are. I am. You know the worst question I'm asked in a new social situation? And what do you do for a living? I used to say I'm a minister, to which I often got the question back, because society today is so removed from church, I often got the question back, oh, which portfolio? That was their immediate response. They weren't thinking about church minister. So now I have to qualify, I'm a church, I'm a minister at a church. And there's nothing like that answer to kill a conversation. But the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. Sometimes I feel so helpless and so awkward in those situations. I get my hair done at Scumbags in Noosa Junction. It's right at the end there, opposite the J. And it's a very lively place to get your hair done. It's always very chatty and it's always very upbeat, and they're always very talkative when they're cutting your hair. So they're always asking, and what do you do, and what are you doing on the weekend, or what did you do on the weekend, depending on what day you're there. There's opportunity after opportunity thrown before me to say something sensible about Jesus, and I'm usually thinking, will you just cut my hair? But the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but does what? Gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And that's exactly what I need in the barber's chair. I need power to overcome my fears and inadequacies. I need love, enough love for the person cutting my hair to care enough that they don't know Jesus. And self-discipline not to give in to the temptation to hide under that black thing they put over your head. At the conference I was at in LA in October last, the speaker opening up this passage put it this way. If you feel inadequate for what God has called you to do, there is a really good reason you are. And that inadequacy is that we all feel is meant to drive us back to God, to make us call on Him, to say to Him, God, I cannot do this on my own. Please give me a cool head and gracious answers. Please give me, by your Spirit, all that I need in terms of your power, your love, and self-discipline. Please take away my natural timidity. Every Christian needs to be reminded that no matter how great the task, whatever God calls anyone to do, whatever opportunity God puts in front of them, He also gives them what they need to meet that challenge. So step out. Step up and see what God will do for you and through you. Fan into flame whatever gift God has given you and use it boldly for His glory and in the service of others, so that together we become a church which is not ashamed of the gospel. Which brings me finally to this very strange question. Have you RSVP'd? Now, what am I talking about? Verse 8b, the final part of our passage this morning. Have a look with me. Recall the context. Paul has just said, don't be ashamed of the gospel. And then he says, rather join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, this is not join me for dinner or have a coffee with me. This is not will you walk with me along the beach. This is not will you join me for a movie or a drink. This is join with me in suffering for the gospel. That's not an invitation you're going to get every day. Have you RSVP'd? This is not even, are you willing to speak up for me in the barber's chair? You know, nothing much is going to happen to me if I do that, is it? I mean, the barber's just going to keep cutting hair and change the subject and speak about nothing much at all. There's nothing to risk in that circumstance. It ought to be a no-brainer to talk confidently and joyfully about serving Jesus, because whatever the outcome in the barber's chair, I doubt it will ever be capable of being labelled suffering. Suffering for Jesus is what happened in Sri Lanka 2 weeks ago. That's suffering. Christians are the most persecuted religious group around the world. I posted two articles on our website just this morning, one from the BBC about religious persecution. Last Sunday, there was an attack on an Assemblies of God congregation in Burkina Faso in West Africa, where the pastor and six other members of the church were left dead. The long-term pastor had sensed danger, but he told his family members that he preferred to die for his faith rather than leave the village that he'd served for 40 years. And he did. Nigeria, China, Indonesia, Pakistan, Egypt. Do you think we will be spared here? Christians in our nation are now very much a ridiculed minority. We're sidelined and maligned, and some of the reasons we fully understand given the Royal Commission in the last few years. But we feel the pressure too now, don't we, to not say anything, not to defend our belief, not to stand up for what is right. Are you prepared to join Paul in his suffering? To take a stand for Jesus, no matter what that might mean? And what might it mean? That neighbour not talking to you? That's hard, but it hardly qualifies under the label suffering, does it? But what if, without being alarming, what if we were the target of terrorism? What if someone wanted to harm you physically because you openly live for Jesus? And you might say to me, oh, hang on, the Sunshine Coast, that's very unlikely, Mark. But we have to say that's not impossible, don't we? What we saw happen in Christchurch a few weeks back, we thought was not possible too. Have you RSVP'd to this strange, unusual invitation? But you're not expected to do it alone, because the Lord has brought us together as the people of God in order that together we may not be hesitant about Jesus. He has supplied us richly with all the essentials. We have one another. We have our Bibles. We have our backgrounds. The Bible is perfect. Our backgrounds are not perfect, but even our imperfect backgrounds prepare us, because we look back and we see how the Lord has been at work in our lives to this point. And everything that has happened in our life to this point, the Lord has used to train and shape you today, to make you who you are today, so that you're ready for today. So today is the day to let go of every excuse, to stop being shy about our Lord, to allow our feelings of inadequacy to drive us back to the Lord, to depend on Him and to step out for Him, to stand up for Him. But did you notice I haven't mentioned the last five words of the passage? Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. How did that pastor in Burkina Faso stay and face the danger in his church? How did those in Sri Lanka stop and help others in need after the bombing? How do Christians in China keep on meeting under risk of arrest? How do Christians in Nigeria keep going back to church when there's a very good risk their church will be bombed that day? By the power of God. That's how. And by the power of God, you can certainly endure that neighbour scorning your belief, that relative who never lets you say anything about Jesus. And by the power of God, you can endure the shooter who walks into our Sunday gathering one day to do us harm. By the power of God. Well, who will be thankful for you, friends, because you've passed on your sincere faith to them? Are you shy? Because the spirit God gave us does not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. And have you RSVP'd to the most significant invitation you'll ever receive, to join with others throughout history and around the globe in suffering for the gospel? By the power of God. Amen.